Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24 says this. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, I could spend an entire Sunday talking about those few words. When he came to his senses, you ever look at somebody and say, 'Your cornbread ain't baked all the way?'" That's what I think of. Somebody whose elevator don't go all the way to the top. Somebody who's one fry short of a Happy Meal. That kind of thing. You got some people like, but when he came to his senses, I believe that we have a generation and we have a church, Big C Church, that needs to come to our senses. And we need to realize, hey, we have strayed at times. And we need to get back to what it's about. We need to get back in the Father's house. I love online church, but there ain't nothing like being in the house of God. I love the fact that people are watching all over the state right now. I love the fact that we can reach people like that. But there's nothing like getting involved with a local body of believers. Let me tell you right now, those of you that are watching online, if you're watching wherever, over the state, over the country, I'm glad you're here with us, but go get involved with a church that's local around you. If you don't have one and you live close to us, come on. We will welcome you with open arms. Come to your senses. Because what the devil's trying to do is trying to separate us from each other. And I'm not willing to let him have it. Anyway, there's my little mini message for today. When he came to his senses, that doesn't take out of my time, just to let you know. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" How many of you have ever said that? "Make me like one of your hired servants." So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, somebody say long way off. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. So he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf. Bring that big old thing here and let's kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. I'm sorry, I got a little excited there at the end because I used to be that guy. I used to be that kid who ran off and did stupid stuff. I used to be the one that wasted his life. But I once was dead, now I'm alive. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was low, but he has lifted me out of the miry clay. Come on, give God praise. Before I get too excited and I start dancing up here, let's go ahead and pray for God's will today. Father God, I pray that you would take these words that I'm about to say, that you let my words be few, your words be powerful. And most of all, Lord, let us leave this place knowing that the long road home is worth it. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Title of my message today, again, if you are taking notes, you can title this, "The Long Road Home." How many of you ever been on a long, long trip? How many of you ever been on that long trip before? That long road home can be rough at times. That long road of hope can be rough at times. There is so much inside of this parable. How many of you have read this before? How many of you have heard this story before? There is so much inside of this parable that there is no way I'm going to be able to preach on everything in it today. There's no way I'm going to be able to speak about everything in it. It's sort of like sitting down. It's like sitting down at a good meal or at a church function. How many of you like church functions where you eat? Okay, you better be raising your hand because we're going to have them. All right? I love church functions where we eat, especially when I know somebody can cook some food. When I know ladies can cook. And I've already found out ladies here can cook. I'm talking about cook. I think I've gained like 5 pounds since I became pastor. But I love going, and it's like sitting down or walking through that little buffet line. You know what I'm talking about? You got the green, you got 4 kinds of green beans, 3 kinds of corn, 2 kinds of casserole. You got chicken, you got ham, you got chicken fingers, you got hot dogs, you've got pork roast, you've got all this stuff. I'm starting to get hungry. We're going to have to dismiss early. But you go through, and you're sitting there, you're looking, going, oh my gosh, there is so much. And you start loading your plate. Next thing you know, you got 4 or 5 things on your plate, and you ain't halfway down the table yet. And you're going, I'm going to have to come back. That's what this parable is like. Today, as I was studying this, there was a plethora of services, a plethora of information, just a whole bunch of it that I could have preached on today. But today I had to just take that one plate. Because if I didn't, then we'd be here until their wedding at 3 o'clock. We're going over this entire thing. And I'm pretty sure I would not have a job if I did that. But I would love to preach on everything in this message today. Or everything in this story. I would love to talk about the significance of the son telling the father, give me my inheritance now. He was basically telling him, I wish you were dead. I wish you were already dead and gone. That's what he was telling his father. I wish I could take the time and tell about the significance of that. I wish I could take the time to talk about the wild living that the young man did and the relying on material wealth and how it will only get him so far until he realized where he needed to go. I wish I could talk about that. I wish that somehow I could spend more time on how when you let yourself be taken out of your father's house, you lose the protection of the father. See, all of these are messages in itself that I don't have time to really get into today. I wish I could look at that come to our senses, come to his senses sentence, and spend a ton of time on it. But God and I have been arguing all week, back and forth. Y'all ever do that with God? I argue with God sometimes, but God, this is so good. And God's going, but that's not what they need to hear. But God is good, and it gives me a good sound bite. People will walk away going, man, that was cool. But that's not what they want to hear. That's not what God wants us to hear today. I wish it was like that. Everything that I wanted to say to God, he said no. God, can I tell him this? No. Can I tell him? No. Can I tell? God simply wants me to share 3 sentences with you today. 3 very simple statements, very simple sentences. The first of which is this. God speaking to you. I've been looking for you. Let me say it again. God is looking at you saying, I've been looking for you. I've been looking and watching for you. Again, you're not here by accident because God's already been looking for you and watching down the road. He's already been looking. It is so frustrating to be looking for something and not be able to find it, right? You ever lose something? I've lost stuff plenty of times. Listen, moms, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That kid comes in, Mom, I can't find my shirt. Mom, I forgot, I don't know where my shoes are. Mom, have you seen this toy? Mom, have you seen my school books? Have you seen my pencil? How many of you moms, you deal with that? Some of y'all are like, I ain't saying nothing because I'm going to kill my kid when I get home anyway. But it's just, you sit there and moms, you know about that. You know about those situations. Not to mention the husbands that come to you, parents or wives. Husbands come to you. Baby, you seen my wallet? You seen my glasses? You notice I'm talking about stuff that I'm dealing with. You see my glasses? I don't know where my glasses are. I literally looked at my wife. My glasses are right here. And I'm sitting there, baby, have you seen my glasses? I have no idea where they at. And she's looking at me like, you big dummy. They own your head. And but husbands, we lose stuff. We lose stuff. I found something the other day that I thought I had lost like 5 years ago. And, of course, I didn't tell Amy about it. But because she told me, I know it's here somewhere. When you end up finding whatever it is that you find, whatever it is that you've lost, how many of you are happy when you find it? Oh, yeah. Sometimes we get mad at those kids when we're looking for it, but we're happy when we find it. That's what happens. When you lose something and all of a sudden you find it, you become happy and excited, especially if it's of great value. You might even do a little happy dance. You're up there, oh, I found my wallet. Okay, I know y'all making fun of me. I understand. I know I ain't got no rhythm and I can't dance, but I'm going to have fun anyway. All right, y'all know I'm a little crazy. But wives, let me say this. How many of you ever found some money in the washer or in the dryer? And how many of y'all, I know some of y'all did a little dance when you found that 10, 20, 30, or 10, 20, 30 bucks in there. And all of a sudden you go, ooh, I get me some new shoes. Get me. Guys, we don't ever find it. Know why? Because the wives get it and they put it in the pocket. No, I'm kidding. But you get excited about it. You have a little bit of fun, and you might even do a little dance like that. God lost something a long time ago, and he's been looking for it. God lost something a long, long time ago, and he's been looking for it ever since. It was a relationship with his creation. God lost that relationship. Now, in actuality, God didn't lose anything. We walked away from it. We walked away from our relationship with God. Really, he didn't lose it. Humanity walked away from it. Way back in Genesis 3, we were given the rules for relationship. God looked at Adam and Eve and said, all right, guys, y'all can eat anything you see except that one tree. You can't eat anything from that tree. And what did we do as humanity? The same thing that most of the time when we are told we can't do something, we go, well, they can't tell me what to do. And then all of a sudden, they headed straight for that tree, and they got talked right into it. God created us for fellowship. Turn to somebody next to you and say, you were created for it. When Adam and Eve sinned, there was a separation that happened. There was a wall that was put up. The relationship that we were created for was lost because of the sin that entered the world. It was so severe that God took an angel and put him at the gate of the Garden of Eden and cast Adam and Eve out and wouldn't let them back in. He was not allowed to, they were not allowed to be with him anymore. Even way back at the fall of man, God started looking for that relationship at that very moment. The first promise of restoration of the relationship with us came just moments after humanity walked away from God in Genesis 3:15. When it says this, and I will cause hostility between you and the woman. He's speaking to the snake. This is proof that snakes are the hand puppets of Satan. Okay, snakes are evil. They're not good. Okay, so you will not see snakes inside this place. Contrary to popular belief. We're Pentecostal. We ain't that Pentecostal. Okay, and I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. That was a prophecy about Jesus Christ. Notice he said that the Son of Man, remember God, Jesus called himself the Son of Man? The Son of Man will strike your head, a definitive blow. He will step on your head, grind it into the ground, and you will be done. You will strike his heel. See, the devil struck Jesus. But ain't nothing keep my Jesus down. He didn't destroy my Jesus. On that cross, Jesus destroyed Satan's hope. He destroyed his plans. He destroyed everything that he had set in motion. So that was the first problem. Immediately, the prophecy started coming out and coming about the one who would reconcile man with his creator. Prophecies all throughout the Bible. People wonder, and there's I want to say there was over 400 prophecies about Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Over 400 prophecies. Here's just a few of them. In Micah 5:2, it talks about he would be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah 7:14, born of a virgin. In Psalm 22:16, it talks about how his hands and his feet would be pierced. In Zechariah 9:9, says that he would ride in on a donkey. These are specific things that God put in motion. God was looking for relationship. More than that, God was looking for his creation to come back home. Somebody say home. The son in this story walked away from his father and wasted his life on wild and crazy living. How many of us can say that? Don't raise your hand. I did some stupid stuff when I was a kid. I've done some stupid stuff as an adult. And I've done some wild and crazy things. And I've walked away from God in so many different situations. But God is always looking for me to come home. He's always looking to restore that relationship. And Luke, what he didn't know, what this son didn't know, was that the entire time he was off partying and hanging with his bros, his father was sitting there watching and waiting for his return home. Luke 15:20 says, "So he returned." He returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. While he was still a long ways off. The key phrase is still a long way off. That phrase tells me something about that father. You know what he did? It doesn't matter how far his son went away. He was looking for him to come home. As a matter of fact, I'm going to steal a chair from right over here, if I can get it unhooked here. I'm going to steal a chair. I imagine when I look at this, I imagine that this is the road that the son left on. I imagine this is the road the son left on. As soon as that son left, the father was standing at the road, standing near his house, going, he's got to come home one day. And I can just see it. I'm a visual person. I can see him taking a chair and setting it on that road and sitting down and every day walking out saying, he's coming home one day. He's coming home one day. When it says he saw him still a long way off, that means that the father wasn't just glancing around and carrying on. It means that he wasn't just doing about the work around the house. It means that he was actively looking and pursuing that son. He was actively looking for him to come home. Listen to me today, folks. God has not forgotten about you. He has not forgotten where you've been. He's not forgotten that you have walked away. He is still hoping and praying. He is still looking for you to walk home on that long road. You're not here by accident. You're not here by happenstance. You are here on purpose. You are here for a purpose. God created you on purpose for a purpose. It doesn't matter how far away from God you are, you have been in your life. Right now, the Father is sitting in the middle of the road looking for you. Looking for your children. He's looking for your situation. He's looking for you. He loved us. His eyes are straining. Looking for just a glimpse of his child coming home to him once again. He showed his love for us in John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. This is how he showed his love for the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. He has provided the way home. All you have to do is walk it. All you have to do is accept it. God has had his eye on you from the moment you walked away. From the moment you walked out of that church that hurt you. From the moment that you turned your back on the call of God that he put on your life. From the moment that you compromised in that relationship in a way that you never should have compromised. The moment that your morals started to change, God started looking. He said, come on home. He started weeping and saying, come home to me. Come home to me, son. Come home to me, daughter. I'm looking for you. Listen, you can't go so far away that God can't reach out to you. You can't go so far away that he forgets about you. God has had his eye on you from the moment you walked away. I talked about it last week. You have never been invisible to God. You may have felt like it, but you have never been invisible to God. You are the apple of his eye, and he has never given up on you. He has watched and looked for you to show an inkling of coming home, waiting to pounce and at just the hint, the whisper of the possibility that you're coming home to him. I'm going to say it again. You belong here. Welcome home. Welcome home. Before the Son even speaks to the Father, before he ever says a word to him, he sees him a long ways off, and he says that he was filled with compassion with him, or for him. Before he ever said anything, before the Son speaks, the Father's actions are shouting a second statement to us that echoes through time to us today. It's something that we hear today. The second statement that he says, first he says, I'm looking for you. The second thing that he's saying is, my forgiveness is already given. Before you even ask for it, I forgive you. Well, how do you reconcile that, Pastor Aaron? How do you figure that? You can tell a lot about a situation by looking at the body language of somebody, right? By their body language actually tells a whole lot about them. When you see a couple that's newly in love, Brad and Claire, y'all can be my, no, I'm kidding. But when you see somebody, like how many of y'all have ever been out to eat and you see somebody that looks like they're on their first date or second date or somebody that's been together for just a little bit of time and they're still in that honeymoon phase? They're sitting so close that you can't put a piece of paper beside them. You're so cute. I love you so much. And they're so sweet and sugary. And it's like if you walk by, you go into sugar shock and you got to take some insulin because you're going into having a diabetic seizure and that kind of thing. You got those kind of people. And then you got the folks that have been together for a really, really long time. You can tell that they've been together for a long time because they don't speak during the dinner. You going to eat that? Can I have some? And they don't, it's just like they sit there, or they sit there scrolling through the phones. It's sort of like when I'm preaching, I can always tell when somebody's engaged. If somebody's sitting there like this, they ain't engaged. they ready for me to shut up and go home. But if somebody is sitting on in that chair, if somebody's sitting in their chair and they're leaning in a little bit and they're going, you know, I got that. You can tell from the body language. This Father's body language told us something. Somebody say body language. This Father's body language told him something. The Father's body language tells us that forgiveness, that the forgiveness that the Son seeks has already been given even before it was asked. Why? Because of this. His actions were shouting what was happening on the inside of him. In Luke 15:20, so he returned to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son. Come on. Brother Rodney's with me. He ran to his son. He didn't wait for him to come. He didn't wait for him to walk all the way to him. He didn't wait until he came and apologized. He didn't wait until he came and asked for forgiveness. What he did was he said, that's my boy. And he took off running down that road. And he says that he ran to him. He embraced him and he kissed him. This is before the son has asked one thing, before he has asked for forgiveness, before he has uttered one word. All this son has done has walked his way home. And this father looks at him and says, you don't have to say a word, son. I forgive you. Come home. Come to me. Let me give you a hug. Let me love you. Let me kiss you. Let me show you the love of a real father. He didn't wait for the son to get all the way to him. His love did not allow him to sit back and relaxed while his son struggled to find his way home. God is not going to sit there and make you struggle to find him. He's not going to make you struggle to come home to him. He is going to provide a way, and he's not only going to provide a way, he's going to meet you halfway, and he's going to run with you, and he's going to chase after you. I know I'm getting excited here, and listen, I'm fixing to bust out in the mood myself. This father did not wait for his son to come to find his way home. Despite all the son had done against his father, he still loved him enough to run to him. The son looked at him and said, I wish you were dead. Give me my money now. Give me my inheritance now. And the father didn't blink twice. He said, here, son, I love you so much, I'll do it. I'll give it to you. And he went away. He didn't look at his son and say, no, you took my money and you ran. You wasted it on wild money or wild things and wild women, and you did all this kind of stuff, and now you need to pay the consequences. So you just going back up. No, he looked at him and said, come on. I love you no matter what. He didn't bring up his past. Even though he had just come from a pig pen. This son had just come. Oh, come on, church. This son had just come from a pig pen. He was still covered in pig feces and probably food that he was feeding to them. His sweat was mingled with all of this stuff, creating a film all over his body. And his father never even looked at the dirt on his face. All he did was run straight to his son and embraced him and kissed him. Even though he smelled like a pig, even though he was covered in filth, he said, I love him enough, I don't care. Listen to me, church. He doesn't care what your past looks like. He doesn't care how many people you have slept with in your life. He doesn't care what addiction has been in your life. He doesn't care how many times you have walked home and then turned away. He always is sitting in the middle of that road going, where is my son and where is my daughter? And when he sees you, he runs to you. That is our God. That is our Father. Give God praise. Before one word was spoken by the boy, the Father sent a message. Before you stepped into this building today, God has already been shouting in the heavens. He's already been sending you messages all week, this month, even for a lifetime. Some of you, God's been trying to get your attention for years. You may have even been coming to this church for years, but God's still been trying to get your attention because you've been walking in the building, but you're still not walking down the road. You'll come visit home every now and then, but you refuse to live there. You refuse to live under his protection. You refuse to live under his hand. Before the son even speaks, the father sends a word. Before you stepped into the building, God has already been shouting in the heavens. He's been sending messages to you. Forgiveness has already happened. Forgiveness is already offered. You don't have to say a word or do a thing. The price has been paid. Romans 5:8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us when we got everything cleaned up. When we got rid of that addiction that was plaguing us. Mm-mm. While we were still sinners. While we were still dirty. While we were still ugly. While we were still running from him. He still sent his son to die for us. With all the filth. With the filth of our sins still clinging to our garments. Clinging to our robes, and with the stench of our worldly hearts invading the space around us, God is longing to embrace us today and to kiss us and say, welcome home. That's what he wants to do. We don't have to have everything right. This is what I call the dishwasher principle. How many of you have dishwashers at home? I know this is horrible, and I'm a horrible person. But I don't see the point in having a dishwasher if I've got to rinse everything off in the sink and clean everything up and then put it in the dishwasher. That makes no sense to me. All the men in here going, oh, hallelujah. I understand that you got to get the big bulk of the food off and everything, but I'm not going to sit there and wash a dish and then put it in the dishwasher. That's crazy. But isn't that what we try to do with God? We say, okay, God, listen, I'm going to clean myself up first, and then I'm going to come and I'm going to let you do something. And we try to clean ourselves up first. We try to say, listen, when I kick this habit, then I'll start working in the church. When I stop cussing, then I'm gonna then I'll get involved and I'll actually join the church. When I've kicked this right here, then I'll give my life over to God. That ain't the way it works. It's God's job to clean the fish. We're stinky. We're nasty. We're ugly. He's the one that cleans us up and makes us ready. He's the one that gets us ready to be consumed. He's the one that gets us ready to be used. That's his job, not ours. As he draws his son close, this father draws his son close, and the tears flow from both sides of the encounter, I can hear the last statement. He's already saying to us, I'm looking for you. I'm looking for my son and my daughter to come home. He's already looking for us. And then he says, my forgiveness is already there. I can hear those whispers. And then that third statement, the third statement that God wants us to hear today is this: but my love doesn't stop there. See, this is where we mess up. Many of us, we walk the road home, and God gets up, runs to us, and grabs us, and kisses us, and loves us, and loves on us, and brings us back home. But then, and we receive his forgiveness, but then we stop. Understand this. The father ran out to the road to meet him. They weren't home yet. They weren't home yet. At the end of their embrace, the son begins his practiced apology. His plea for forgiveness. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned both against heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Some of the ancient manuscripts that the Bible comes from, some of them have a little addition onto that, and I actually read it earlier. And it says, please take me on as a hired servant. That's a little addition that they put in there. Some of the oldest manuscripts have that part in it. And scholars point to this. People, theologians and scholars point to this and say what happened was that when he said this, was that the father was interrupting him. Scholars point to this fact that the father, and the fact that it's not in all the manuscripts, that the father cut him off before he said it. And he turned around to his servants, and in Luke 15:22 says this, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring on his finger and sandals on for his feet. What he was doing is he was looking at his son and saying, forget about being my hired servant. You're not a servant. You're my child. And forget about these clothes you're wearing, because you're not going to stay this way. You're not going to stay this way. He was looking at his son saying, I love you even in these rags, but I love you too much to leave you in them. Oh, come on. I love you too much to leave you in the filth that you came from. I love you too much to leave you in your past. Oh, come on. Give God praise. God will love us in spite of our sin, but he's not willing to let us remain in it. God loves you enough today that he will accept you as you are. As dirty and as ugly and as painful as it is for him to see what you've been through, He looks at you and he says, I love you just like that. Even though you struggle with pornography, even though you struggle with your mouth, even though you struggle with your attitude, even though you struggle with drugs or you struggle with alcohol, even though you struggle with running around and gossiping, even though you struggle with all of these things, I love you in spite of it. But I love you enough to say you can't stay there with it. See, when, and I'm just getting completely off my notes now, but I want you to know, when the father ran down the road, he ran and met him. And what had to happen was he had to yell back at the house, bring me a robe, bring me a ring, bring me a garment of righteousness that I can put on my son again. And it says that he wanted the best robe in the house. Whose robe do you think that was? It wasn't the son's. It wasn't the mother's. It wasn't one of the servants. It was his robe. We are clothed in Christ's righteousness. That's where he changes us. That's where. But the thing is, he couldn't just automatically, poof, it was there, and he put it on him. What he had to do is he had to put his arm around his son. And they had to walk home together. God is not wanting you to walk home alone. He's walking with you. He's walking with you. He's walking with us, hand in hand, arm in arm, arm around us. He is ready to put a robe of righteousness on us. He's ready to put a ring on our hand that signifies the authority of the house. You think back to Joseph when he was in Potiphar's house, or actually when the ruler gave him rule over all of Egypt, he took his own signet ring off and put it on Joseph as a sign of the authority. What that father was doing, what our father is doing, is he is handing us the authority that belongs to us, the authority that we deserve because we are his child again. And he's putting sandals on his feet for the protection of the house, letting him know the roads that you walk on are sharp and they hurt and you need some protection. You need my protection in your life. Some of you, God's just still waiting for you to run home. Some of you have come home, but you're still wearing your old filthy rags. Remember, the father said, kill the fatted calf, and let's have a feast. Let's celebrate. But they couldn't go into the celebration until he had changed. Until he had gotten cleaned up. We have to let God clean us up sometimes. We've got to take off what we think is right and put on his robe. If you understand me, say I do. Let's stand together today. Father God, pour yourself out. No matter where you're at in your journey home, God is looking for you. His forgiveness and his love have already been given today. All you have to do is accept it and accept God back into your life once again as your heavenly Father. His forgiveness and his love has already been given today. You understand that God's love, though. See, this is where we got to make sure we understand. Understand God's love is not willing to let you stay in your rags. There must be a change when you accept him. There must be a change in lifestyle. There must be a change in what you do and what you say. It's not going to happen immediately. Think about that. The father, he didn't just, that son didn't change immediately when he said, bring me a robe. All of a sudden, poof, there it is. It took them walking together for a while and changing piece by piece who he was. Changing it little by little. Understand, God's love is not willing to let you stay in your filth. Remember, the father ran to the boy. There was a journey to be made back to the house. It may be a long road home, but understand the father is walking with you, accepting you for who you are and helping you change along the way. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God, in the name of Jesus, right now, I plead your blood over this room right now. That God, you would start to deal with hearts and deal with lives. That God, you would grab a hold of every single person in this place, Lord. If we have been walking the road home and we're still wearing the rags, we're making excuses for our past, saying, well, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a situation in my life. God, in the name of Jesus, plead the blood over them right now. Let your blood pour over them and show them, God, that you're ready for them to change. That in order to go into the feast, to go into your presence, to go in to be a part of the house again, that there must be a change of clothing. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this room today, number one, some of you need to start your road home. God has pricked your heart and he said, listen, he's talking to you. I've been looking for you. And the thing is, you've been running the other direction. Turn to me and start running home. If that's you today, God is speaking to you today and you want to come home to him and you want to walk that long road home and you want to start your walk today. If that's you, then right now I invite you to raise your hand right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Then there's a group of other people that are in this room. God has been dealing with you about your walk home. You're walking with him and you're trying to walk with God. But the thing is, you're still carrying around those rancid clothes, those filthy clothes. And you're still wearing those clothes the way that Lazarus did when he stepped out of the tomb. And Jesus had to look at him and say, take the grave clothes off. He's no longer dead. There's no reason for him to wear them. Listen, some of you are still walking around in the filth. It's time to take those off and exchange it for his righteousness. It's time to make a decision. That a change has to happen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If that is you today and you want to get things right with God, I'm not saying that you ain't saved, but what I'm saying is that God needs to do something in your life. If you want God to do something in you and clean you up today, if that's you, then right now I invite you to raise your hand in Jesus' name. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? I'm going to do something that's a little odd for me, but I'm going to do this right. I want to do this right today. Some of you need to step onto the road. I'm going to count to three. And I'm already at one. And when I get to three, what I want you to do is if you need something from God, if you need something cleaned up in your life, if you need something to be pulled out of you, if you need to change something in your life, then I want you to come down this center aisle and start your walk home. I'm at number two. All you have to do is walk down this aisle and say, God, I need to be changed. I need to be broken. I need to be cleaned. God's already dealing with it. Right now, your heart's beating a mile a minute. You're sitting there and you're scared to death because you don't know whether you should go or not. If you've got any question, you don't need to walk. You need to run to this altar because you're not promised the next second. One, two, three. Come on down. Anybody. Come on down. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Anybody. Anybody who just needs something changed. If you need to let go of something in your life, you've tried to walk with God. You've tried to do what He's asked you to do. But right now, you're sitting there going, you know what? I've got some problems that I need to fix, but I can't do it. I've tried to do it on my own. I've tried to do it in my own strength. Today is your day. Pardon me for getting loud. But I want to get this message across that the Father's looking for you to come home. If I could have some of our leaders come up and pray for these, those of you that are strong with God, some of my deacons and some of my prayer warriors that have been in this church for a while, I want you to come and start lay hands on these and pray for these. We want to be respectful. In Jesus' name, Lord. Right now, Lord, we ask you to come into this room and that you would grab a hold of every heart, every life, that, Lord, you would touch us and that you would help us to understand, Lord, that we have to start the walk home, that we have to go forward, that we have to let go of things, that we have to understand we all like sinners. We are all like sheep that have strayed, but that you are the good shepherd that brings us back home. Shorababababakai. God, in the name of Jesus, we pray for each one of these, God. Each one of them, God, we pray for your hand and your spirit to be on them. God, in the name of Jesus, that you would start to pull out of them what doesn't need to be there, that you would pull out of them those things that are broken, that need to be changed and healed. In Jesus' name, whether they be habits or bitterness from the past, in Jesus' name, Lord, pour your spirit out. Father God, pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. I'm going to ask everybody in the room to pray this prayer with me. If you would, just pray this with me. Lord Jesus, you're my Father. And today, I'm coming home. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my mistakes. Change my filthy rags and put a new robe on me. Make me more like you. I give you my life. It's yours. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can we give praise for God for these that are down here today? Father God, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.